previously on the last episode.
And I don't think he's going to be in season three, obviously. You know, Bullseye wasn't even in the Born Again storyline. You know, and a lot of people are speculating that he will be in season three, that this guy who could be Bullseye, you know, he could be Sin Eater, he could be, you know, any number of dudes. But this Wilson Bethel guy, like, he was in Heart of Dixie. He, you know, he was in Young and the Restless. Like, this dude who's playing an FBI agent, he's not going to be Bullseye. Like, I don't think that they want a guy who doesn't have the experience in martial arts and doesn't have that physicality. I'm sorry, I just don't see it. Episode 9, and I am the Daredevil Prophet, and it has been far too long since my last confession. And I may have made a little bit of a miscalculation, a little bit of a mistake. News came very quickly that Wilson Bethel will in fact play Bullseye in Season 3 of Daredevil, which is coming up in just a few months from now. We don't have that much long to wait. And Bullseye is going to be front and center in the fray of everything that's going on in season three. He is the featured villain. He is the featured new character of the season. And he's going to be a part of the Marvel Netflix universe from here on out going forward. This is something that I have to admit, season three would have been, or was, the very, very last season that I would have expected him to show up. It kind of hurts. It kind of hurts a little bit to see him, to just a punch to the gut, you know, and it's taking me down a few pegs, I have to admit, but I am the Daredevil Prophet. I'm going to keep prophesying and we're going to continue to move forward. So the reason why I made a different prediction for Bullseye to show up is because I was focusing on a few things. I was focusing on, or I was banking on Marvel really, really going after Jason Statham. I think that they really wanted him. And I think that that's well documented. I think somewhere along the line, they stopped pursuing him and they realized we want to bring the character in now. We wanted to bring him in probably last season. We can't keep staying on this merry-go-round with Jason Statham, hoping that he'll come around. So I think that they just pulled the plug. They closed the book on trying to pursue Jason Statham. And obviously, auditioning for Bullseye, they did get somebody who looks very similar to Charlie Cox. He also looks very similar to kind of like Nuke in a way. So very, very character-based, a good actor who's going to be playing different parts of Bullseye's character and different parts of his psyche throughout the season. I hope he's up to the challenge. I welcome Wilson Bethel. And I think it's going to be a fun ride this season. It has not subtracted from my excitement or has taken away from me looking forward to season three. The Born Again storyline and Bullseye being together in the same season. It is a little jarring to try to realign my sights and my focus. So I was banking on Jason Statham being Bullseye at some point in the future, eventually, which is why I put it back so far. And also I was banking on them waiting, for a big character moment. Season two would have been one, a later season would have been another. And I think that they just couldn't wait anymore. They had to bring him in now. And I think in a lot of people's minds, he's well overdue. So here we go. We're going to get Bullseye in season three. Where I was coming from was that it was going to be the most logical and organic next step. Season three, introducing Bullseye this season, this year, does not feel organic to me. It does not feel like the logical next step. I thought that then, and I said it then, and I still believe it now. I think that it's something where my initial thoughts about it were like, okay, well, he's probably going to fulfill the Nuke role. And he's probably, we're gonna get a pre-Bullseye, as we tend to get. We got a pre-Wilson Fisk in season one. We got a pre-Punisher and Elektra in season two. We're most likely going to get a pre-Bullseye in season three, to where he starts off as being in law enforcement. And he slowly turns into being the psychotic maniac known as Bullseye as the season progresses. So this is going to be his degradation, him sort of realizing who he is as a villain and as a strong Daredevil villain. And we're probably not going to see a whole lot of Bullseye in full fruition until towards the very end. But I think he's going to do a lot of cool things. I think we're going to see a lot of interesting things. I think we're going to explore his psyche. We're going to see how Wilson Fisk might have an influence on him. We do know that Wilson Fisk is going to have a trial at some point in the season. Wilson Bethel's character, Bullseye, we don't even know, like, you know, what his real name is, or Bullseye's real name. You know, we might see Wilson sort of sit in prison and sort of prey on this psychically damaged character. We might see him start this relationship that's akin to how the Joker kind of broke Harley Quinn down psychologically and brought her over to his side to meet his ends. So we may have a very, very strong villain, a very skilled villain that can go up against Daredevil, but we could also have a very loyal hired mercenary or hired assassin to Wilson Fisk. So Wilson Fisk may have a very, very loyal assassin. And this season, we may start to see the groundwork of why that is and how significant Wilson is to Bullseye as the season progresses. So a couple of things, you know, there's a couple of questions that stand out to me. Will we have that kind of relationship between Wilson Fisk and Bullseye? Will they kind of have this weird sort of Sith rule of two, you know, master apprentice type of relationship? You know, where he's slowly corrupted, or maybe he's still in law enforcement and he's still Wilson is pulling strings through Bullseye. Will he be Daredevil's doppelganger? This was a question that came up immediately in my mind. There was a picture that leaked today that showed a doppelganger. Matt being in his original black costume from season one, and another dude in the background in the Daredevil costume. This is actually very, very, very interesting to me, because I think that the Gladiator is still going to play a role in this season. I think he's going to play a pivotal role, and I have not deviated from that line of thinking. I still think he's going to be very important. Who makes Daredevil's costume? Gladiator. Who makes Wilson Fisk's costumes or his suits? Well, that would be Gladiator. I think Gladiator has been waiting in the wings, not to be an adversary to Daredevil, but maybe to be blackmailed by Wilson Fisk. I've implied before that maybe he might be responsible for destroying Matt's house, but that could really be from the Gladiator or from or from Bullseye. So there's a couple of options that they can do. And where does Bullseye sort of, you know, how much of the cake does he take? How much of the pie does he take? Because we're going to get his sort of origin story. But in terms of events and how he's integrated into the Boarding Ed story, we're going to see him fulfill other people's roles. He's going to fulfill that nuke role. He's going to fulfill that doppelganger role, I think. But it's going to be the essence of Bullseye that brings a different flair to it and a different flavor and a more chaotic thing to it, a different kind of flavor. So these are all things that immediately come up in my mind that he will be a part of, and that those are roles that he will fulfill. But who knows? I mean, who knows what else they have up their sleeve? I mean, it's always a great opportunity to use him in those very pivotal roles. So that way, Matt can look in him by the end of the season and be like, this dude has done so much wrong. You know, it just begs for them to be arch nemesis moving forward. So it is kind of interesting to see how they will integrate him into the Born Again storyline. And I do think that the Born Again storyline will be adapted more loosely than I would have previously anticipated. There's just different characters in the season, and you have the law enforcement as a major influence. You have the Wilson Fisk, the trial of Wilson Fisk, taking up a part of the season. You have Daredevil back in his old costume, you know, and he's sort of like an outcast. Maybe his reputation is shot. You know, maybe it's torn to shreds. It's going to be a very different kind of Born Again storyline because of all of that. And also because of where they left off previously. He was in a church. He was, you know, in the presence of his mom. I mean, you know, if you know comics, if you know the Born Again storyline, you know, his mom was there. Does he meet her off screen before season three even starts? Where does season three start? That's a very, very big question in my mind, because Born Again is all about his life being dismantled from somebody that's like right under his nose, you know, and he slowly is unraveled psychologically as well throughout the book. But it's like, didn't we just see this with him? Like, in season two, he lost his practice with Nelson and Murdoch. We've seen Karen Page run off with another vigilante. Foggy moves on to a bigger firm, bigger and better things. And he left everything, his civilian life behind to go chase Vigilante and to go run on rooftops with Elektra, who dies not only at the end of season two, but presumably at the end of Defenders as well. I mean, this guy starts off having nothing, whereas in the book, he has his life intact. And then we start to see that downward spiral. So how it starts is important to the whole arc that Matt is going to have throughout the season. Yes, he still has his apartment, but he doesn't have Stick. He doesn't have Elektra. He has this very splintered relationship now with Foggy. His relationship with Karen is on the mend. But it's not him starting from the top and getting torn down, right? Like, if you really want to make this a revenge story for Wilson Fisk, you have to start Matt at the top. And so he doesn't, Matt is presumed dead at this point, you know? He's presumed dead in Luke Cage. He's presumed dead in all the previous shows in between The Defenders and season three of Daredevil. Where is this season going to start? That's very, very important because that will set up the revenge story of Wilson Fisk and how sweet that will be. And then also the rising of the Phoenix, Daredevil rising up again towards the end of the season. It'll make that moment all the more sweeter. So season three is off to a really, really questionable start to me. And we're going to see, where it starts and how it ends. Again, I think it's going to be a fun ride, but, and Charlie Cox has said, like, we're going to hit the ground running in season three. We're not going to set up any of these characters. We're just going to go completely into story. I think you kind of have to, because you have to bring Matt to a point where he has some kind of normalcy. You can't just tear him down and then season three starts and then you tear him down some more. I don't know if that's how they want to do it. And I don't think that's going to lend itself to a really nice character arc. This whole storyline is about tearing Matt down and deconstructing him and putting him back together so that way he's stronger and he has more resolve in who he is and what he does. So very interesting how it'll start and how all of that will go. So another thing about Bullseye, kind of got off topic there. One thing I wanted to say, I really think season one was great for killing off Ben Urich. And I do think that there are maybe a few notable deaths before the series ends. But I do think that they are abandoning the idea of permadeath that I talked about before. Killing a character and leaving them dead. Like, that has dramatic tension. That has stakes. That adds weight. Now, it was a smart move in hindsight to kill off Ben Urich because the Marvel Netflix universe is completely separate from the MCU. It's completely separate from all the other Marvel television stuff that they're doing. It's in its own self-contained universe for all intents and purposes. As much as they want to try to say that it's all connected, yes, Daredevil is a part of Marvel. Yes, Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, they're all also a part of Marvel, so they are in the same universe. But there is not going to be any interaction. There is going to be a clear wall between the movie side, the Netflix side, and all the other television stuff that they decide to do outside of Netflix. So, having said that, you have a situation where Ben Urich is killed off in season one. Karen kind of takes on that Ben Urich role. It's a smart move. It's a good move. It gives Karen a lot of stuff to do. It makes her a stronger character. And in the end, when you look at it, Ben Urich really does seem expendable, even though he is a very, very strong character in the Born Again storyline and other storylines that I think that they will adapt in the future. But Karen's taken on that role for all intents and purposes. And so the idea of killing somebody off was a novelty then. It remains a novelty now. It remains a rarity at this point. I don't think that they... Look, I said it in the last episode. Like, who's Bullseye going to kill that's of significant impact to really, really sink it, sink his teeth into Matt and to really, really make an impression? Who? Who's he going to take out? Foggy? No. Karen? Maybe, but maybe not yet. What kind of weight can you give Bullseye by introducing him now? Adopt permadeath again. Adopt it again. It's the right thing to do. Hey, you remember that issue where Daredevil was playing Russian roulette with Bullseye when he was laid up in bed in a hospital and he was completely helpless? That was a really tense issue. That is a really cool and fun issue. Really stakesy. You think something is going to go down. Daredevil is in a very fragile state of mind. And for good reason. There was a major death a few issues before. And she was a big character. And a lot of people cared. The idea of keeping people's attention by making everyone seem expendable, it's just the right thing to do for a show on Netflix. It's just the right way to go. All right, so introducing Bullseye now. I talked about it on the last episode. They're probably going to want to introduce the Lady Bullseye character at some point. They have Wilson Bethel. I'm pretty sure he's going to be around from now on. Season 3 and even beyond season 3. And so I think they're going to eventually pull at the Lady Bullseye thread. And they might do the whole Akari thing with Bullseye in an Iron Maiden. And his eyes are blinded. They might do something kind of like that where Daredevil maybe really does injure Bullseye to a point where he can't really hurt anyone else ever again. But he can still act behind the shadows. And so that is a possibility now. It does open up that door now that Bullseye is going to be in the front, in the fray. And I talked about the beginning. The nice thing is that the end of the season doesn't have to lead into a tie-in to another event the way that season 2 did. So it doesn't have to lead into a Defenders 2. It doesn't have to lead into a Shadowland. It doesn't have to lead into anything else besides Daredevil season 4. So that's a really good relief, because it just means that we're going to get a stronger self-contained season that will have a satisfying conclusion. I think it will ultimately satisfy a lot of us, and I don't think it'll let us down. And this will lead me to my next prediction. Can't stop making those. Season 3 will be better than Season 2, but not better than Season 1. You can't really expect it to top Season 1. Because of what I talked about before, the start that it's going to get, there may be a little redundancy in seeing Matt hit rock bottom again, just like he did when he took a year off from being Daredevil, just like when his firm was dismantled because they completely messed up on the Frank Castle case. Season 1 story was great because it focused mainly on a wholly new Daredevil origin story that draws inspiration from top-notch films and TV shows. And it sprinkles in those first issues of Man Without Fear, Daredevil Yellow. But it's still a cohesive story with a consistent tone. It centers around the titular character. It has a brand new canvas that it doesn't have to, again, it doesn't have to tie into anything. It just has to worry about world building. And it's backed by a team that has a vision, and they took risks. They didn't have to worry about crossovers. They didn't have to worry about the Defenders. Season 2 didn't focus on Matt really at all. There was another podcast that I heard where someone said, if you took Matt out of Season 2, everything would kind of continue revolving and unfolding the same way as if he were there. Matt took a real backseat, and that's a very dangerous thing for a show to do with its main character. And it took a backseat to Punisher and to Elektra. Those are very popular characters, but when you bring in two new characters that don't go hand in hand, they don't work well together, that, you know, it just feels like this big disjointed season where it's cut into two halves. Punisher, a big focus on the first four episodes, and then it kind of sharply shifts to Elektra and the Hand and all that stuff. And Punisher takes a backseat, and his storyline is the B story of the season after episode four. It just feels very, very disjointed and split down the middle. And when something is split down the middle, somebody could describe that as being broken. It's also a straightforward adaptation. Adaptations are always weird because we usually want straightforward adaptations, but that's not what season one was. Season one took all of that inspiration of his origin story, the first Stanley issues, along with Frank Miller's Man Without Fear and the Jeff Loeb Daredevil Yellow, Tim Sale, all of those things are just kind of thrown into a blender, and it was given an Instagram filter. Dark, gritty, and realistic. Season 2 was jarring because it was straightforward. We knew what was going to happen, and it felt very comic booky. It lost that grit and that realistic approach that season one set up. Just really kind of went overboard with being disassociated from reality and from the rules of reality. And I mean, look, how much time do these writers have to come up with season two? The feedback for season one was so great that I think that Netflix and or Marvel just said, hey, give us season two, like, right now. Get started on it right now. And they had very little time to work out a really good story, a really cohesive story. They didn't have much time to line up casting, which may have had something to do with them not including Bullseye and them going with Nobu. So it feels very hampered. And the character beats that it had to set up in the Defenders didn't have much to do with the season either. So all of that stuff kind of hampers season two. The relationship between Daredevil and Elektra is still fun. People still really like the Punisher, his representation in that season. I still think it's the best Punisher that we've ever seen before or since. I think it's better than Punisher season one in terms of representing a character and setting up a character. And so it does a lot of good things, but as a season-long story, it just had a lot of things that it was dealing with that just kind of distracted from what the story was and what it was meant to be. Season two also used a lot of the same staples from season one that season one set up, like the hallway fight scene. I mean, it was something that was so successful and so effective in season one that it was replicated not only in season two, but also in Defenders and a couple of the other shows in Iron Fist and Luke Cage to some effect or some kind of version of it. I would say let's let that lie down for a little bit. It's fun. It's fun to see it. The only time I probably would have forgiven it is in the Defenders. Maybe Luke Cage. Luke Cage was kind of fun. It was kind of inventive. And the Defenders, you just have crazy energy. You have all of these four heroes coming together at once. Those I give a pass, but Daredevil itself, I think there can be other things that are done, other staples that are created to expand upon what Daredevil can do physically and acrobatically. I think that I would like to see more acrobats from Daredevil and not just kind of like this sort of brawler sort of style that he's developed into. I want to see him jumping off of rooftops a little bit more and see him become the man without fear, the kind of guy who will jump out a window not knowing if there's telephone wire or some kind of post to break his fall or that he can swing from. You know, him literally jumping out of a window blind and being a Daredevil. There's a few other things that I think that we can do that every season has an opportunity to do. Season two just rehashed a lot of what season one did. So here's to hoping that season three will breathe a little bit of new life into what the team can do, what the stunt coordinators can do. So like I said, season two introduced two characters, two very major characters. Season three is only introducing one character or one notable character. They'll find a good way to incorporate him into the overarching story. And so because Bullseye is the only new draw for the season, a lot more time will be devoted to the main story and to Daredevil himself. That's something that I believe, Matt will be dead center in throughout the whole season. He will be the focal point, bullseye, kind of, or it might be like half and half, to where half of season one was about Matt, the other half was about Wilson. We may see a similar formula with Matt and all the things that he's going to go through, and who I presume will be his doppelganger, Bullseye, and see them both unravel at the hands of Fisk, and Fisk will sort of turn them towards each other, where they'll have a confrontation between the two of them. So I think that this is going to be a really, really focused season. I think it's going to bring Matt back into being the main guy, and having him devour the main meat of the season. So I do think that in some ways, when Cindy Holland, who's the vice president of original content for Netflix, said that season three will be a return to form for Daredevil, I think that's a little fan servicey. I think that's a little message to say, you know, hey, come back, you guys, like we're doing it right this time. But I kind of believe it at the same time. I kind of think that it's a publicity kind of thing to bring audiences back and to reinstill trust in the Marvel Netflix brand, which has been damaged a little bit by the Defenders and Iron Fist, two major, you know, that was a 1-2 punch to fans. I think that something like this had to be said in order to try to be a beacon to fans to give Daredevil another shot and not worry about it so much. But let's take a look at the facts. Like I said, season two was rushed. Production was rushed. I'm sure the writing was rushed. It felt straightforward. It felt comic booky. It felt like a copy and paste sort of adaptation. This is why I'm fine, completely fine, with season three taking 2 years to come out, right? Like, I've never ever thought negatively. I've never been, you know, looking at my watch saying, where's season three? Where's season three? Jessica Jones is coming out. Luke Cage is coming out. Iron Fist is coming out. Where's Daredevil season three? He's been MIA for so long. And Luke Cage came out after season two of Daredevil. Iron Fist came out after season two of Daredevil. Then the Defenders happened. And then we got Luke Cage again and Iron Fist again, with Jessica Jones squeezed in the middle. Season three of Daredevil, last on the list. I'm completely fine with it. It's okay. Let's give the team time to regroup, to refocus, and to get the story, the casting, to get all of it right. 2 years is plenty of time. Like, the difference between 3 months in the writing room, or a couple of months in the writing room, versus 6 months or over 6 months in the writing room will make a huge difference. Right? And I think that a lot of people have given season two crap, including myself, even in this very episode. But you give them enough time to write and craft an elaborate and cohesive story, and it'll feel like HBO again. It'll feel like FX again. And who knows? By the end of it, you just might end up with an Emmy. Who knows? I mean, season one teetered on the brim of getting Emmy recognition. It did. It came close. Season 3 could be held up to the same standard, and we can see Daredevil rise up to that level again. But I think that Season 3 will rank somewhere just below Season 1. Look, the ceiling is high. Season 1 is great. It's better than a lot of TV shows that are on Netflix, network, anywhere. It's a great season. It's worth your time. It's a high ceiling, but it's a high bar to rise to again. But Season 3 has had the time. The writers have had the time. And I think it will deliver. Let's see if it can reach that ceiling once again. So I talked about Typhoid Mary being in Season 4. That was something that was kind of wishful thinking. Season 3 is going to see the last Frank Miller adapted material. And so I speculated that, you know, Season 4 was really an opportunity before we get into the Brian Michael Bendis stories. It's an opportunity to do something really fun and really wacky and really off the wall. You know, let's see some Chichester, Anna Santee, you know, Lone Stranger, you know, just some weird stuff. Let's explore Karen Page's backstory. Let's see Hellspawn in the mix. Let's see Typhoid Mary in the mix. Let's see Fall from Grace. Let's see some wacky stuff. Like, this will be probably the only time to see it. Wacky is not what the Daredevil show is all about. Typhoid Mary is going to go to Iron Fist, and I don't think that she'll cross over into the Daredevil series, which is a shame, because that's something that Anna Senti said recently that she hoped would happen. She said that Typhoid Mary is tailor-made to be a great foil for Daredevil, and she hopes that she makes it into the Netflix series. Well, Typhoid is going to make it into a Netflix series, just not Daredevil. And so it got me thinking, one, I'm really, really excited to see it. Like, I really am. I'm a sucker for Typhoid Mary. I think that she's just such an interesting cat. And I do think that she'll do well in Iron Fist. I do think that she'll be a plus, and she'll raise the quality of Iron Fist Season 2. But it got me to thinking. Daredevil has a lot of great villains. He has a great wheelhouse of villains. Say what you want about Leapfrog. Say what you want about Stiltman. You've got all those other goofy ones in there, like Jester. The Owl was actually adapted into Season 1, but he wasn't the Owl that you see in the comics. Daredevil is the Grateful Dad, like Kevin Smith said, to the Netflix shows. He's given all the shows something of himself, something of his villain wheelhouse. Think about it. Jessica Jones has Kilgrave and Nuke. Turk, he's in Luke Cage. Elektra, main baddie for the Defenders event. And now we see Typhoid Mary in the Iron Fist. These are characters that Kilgrave, Daredevil's no match for Kilgrave. Typhoid Mary, she's a mutant. She's a pyrotechnic. She has all these different personalities and has this lust to just kill and just really get into you and break your heart and really stab you in the back at the same time. These characters aren't going to fit in a realistic tone. Typhoid Mary, I think, will definitely fit better in the Iron Fist, because instead of going up against a mere mortal with Matt Murdock, now she's going up against a dude who can light up his fist and punch through walls. She would have taken out Matt too easily. She's too powerful. Kilgrave is too powerful. You see Jessica Jones? She can fly. She can fall with style. She has super strength. She gets psychologically damaged to a spectacular degree by Kilgrave. She barely makes it out alive. Daredevil wouldn't have that kind of luck. He's a mere mortal, and he wouldn't do well against a lot of these villains. Iron Fist can summon his chi, and he can put a hole in you. So I think that Typhoid Mary, being in Iron Fist, it's an interesting choice. We'll see what kind of changes they make to her character, because I think they most certainly will. But she's somebody that I wanted to see in live action. So I think it just speaks to the wealth of characters that Daredevil actually has, because I do think that Jeff Loeb and the Marvel guys, they have an outline for the entire Daredevil series. I'm sure they have some sort of an idea of where they want to go from season to season. And Typhoid Mary, in the grand scheme of things, just doesn't factor into that. So why not give her to another show who can adopt her well, and who can make her shine in a way that she wouldn't be able to probably in a Daredevil show. I mean, Gladiator, I mean, he's been waiting in the wings for, this is going to be his third season. We see little bits of where he's headed, but he's completely in the background. I mean, Typhoid Mary, I mean, a lot of these villains that aren't at the top of the Daredevil villains list, they would also be secondary characters that might feel half-baked, that might take a long time to develop. And so why not utilize them in a different show? I think it's a smart thing to do, and I'm really interested for Iron Fist. The trailer looks good. You know, I even said it before, I thought that season one was enjoyable. To me, for all the reasons that people didn't like Iron Fist are kind of the reasons that I liked Iron Fist. I see all those problems. Iron Fist himself was pre-Iron Fist, Iron Fist. Like I said before, this is just what they do with all of their characters. They take the time to set them up. So that way they can prolong putting them in a goofy costume. And two, it's so that way we can really get to know who the person is behind the persona, behind the moniker. And it gives us, it gives them time to flesh out who they are. And so that way their stories are more compelling on a character basis. And in the end, that's what we want, really. You know, we want character development. We want satisfying stories. And we want these characters to feel as real to us on the shows, the same way that they feel real to us when we're reading them on the panel and on the page. So this is episode 9. I think that the trailer for Daredevil will come out very, very soon. I don't know if I'll be able to do another episode before Daredevil season 3 comes out. This is sort of the primer episode, I'm thinking. I don't think I'll have much to say when the trailers come out. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the trailers and enjoy the season 3 when it comes out, and Maybe I'll talk to you on the other side. I'll definitely give a review. I'll definitely give my thoughts on season 3. And so, cheers to Daredevil. Here's to Born Again, season 3 coming up. I think that this is going to be a really fun season. So, you know, knock back a few beers with me, and let's Netflix and chill together. And I'll see you on the other side.
I think we got it.
Previously on the last episode.
All right.
Previously on the last episode.
All right.